I want to take a moment this morning, and God only provides sermon illustrations like the fall weather, certain times of year. And so when He does, you need to make sure that you talk about that. And so I just want to take a moment for us to just think about the changes that have happened in the seasons. We're here in the last, really in the last couple weeks, and it's happened fast. I know my mother-in-law loves, when the leaves begin to change, she loves to take a drive. She has a convertible, and she likes to just, by herself, my father-in-law will go with her, so just cruise. And she just loves to go out and see all the beautiful leaves, and if the weather's nice to do that in that convertible, just to see all the cool things. And folks, it's one of those things where here, but a couple weeks ago, everything was green. You know, everything was green, there were still flies, there's still flies everywhere. We're plagued with flies around here, apparently. But, you know, there's still bugs and insects just everywhere, and all of a sudden, things begin to change. Things begin to get orange and yellow and green and all of those cool colors that I think it's a sugar maple, I'm not sure, that turns that bright fluorescent yellow. I might be wrong, but one of those trees that just seems like when you look at it, it's ultraviolet yellow, and it's just beautiful, and God provides that for us, and it's a beautiful time. So we see from this green, lush environment all of a sudden begins to turn. It's beautiful in its time, but it begins to thin. And some of you men might know what it's like to have that thinning top. And so the leaves begin to fall away. And that beauty is no longer as beautiful as it was, and it becomes bare. Now for deer hunters, we love that bare because we can see long ways. We can see that big buck coming through the woods. But it turns bare. It's cold. And it's really not a pleasant time to go outside, and it's one of those things you just want to cuddle up by the fire and put a blanket on and forget about it. Those are the seasons that we deal with. And we all look forward to. Now, some of us say, oh, I want 10 feet of snow this year and all this. And then some people are like, don't even snow a flake. I don't want to even snow. And then there's hope. There's hope in that new life. We begin, God sometimes in January will give us that weird warm day that some people will just break out the shorts and try to mow their grass. And then it turns off cold again. But I just want to remind us a little bit as we go through these seasons to think about the seasons in our lives. This type of weather reminds us that there is a very fruitful time in our life and a very colorful time in our life, and then we start to decline. And then there's death. And now that I've thoroughly depressed you, I want to tell you why we're talking about that. The psalmist says, man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. You know, I can remember my time in high school and college. As a matter of fact, we talked about it this morning. You know, and it wasn't that long ago for me. I graduated college in 2009, and I remember all of the times that I had back in 2004 before I graduated high school. You know, I remember all the good times in high school, and I remember all that fun that I had and just the joy of hanging out with friends and going to you know, some parties and hanging out and just having a good time. And I never wanted that to end in high school. And then I graduated, and I thought, oh, man, it's all gone. And then I went to college, and I went to SBU, Southwest Baptist University, and I found a whole other group of friends, and a group of friends that are still my friends today. Matter of fact, a couple weeks ago when I was gone, I was with that group of friends and their families and their kids, and we had a good time together. But I remember all of that, and I remember thinking about the seasons in our lives. And I'm sure that some of you sit there in your chairs this morning still easily remembering what it was like to be in high school. Remember those days, as I'm talking about it, it's just coming back to you. Maybe it was a good time, maybe it was a bad time. But for me, to think about that is like, man, and I know I'm the young pup here, I get it. But for me, I look back on those times, I think, man, it's like it was yesterday. And I remember the words of the psalmist that says, man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. James chapter 4, 14 through 15 says, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Life is short. Life is short. Moses lived 120 years. But I bet that the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea, seemed like yesterday to him. Seemed like just yesterday he was standing before Pharaoh telling him to let his people go. Even though Moses was 120 years old, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7, that although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. 120 years old on his deathbed. And his eyes are still bright, and his vigor is, let's get her done. God chose to take him home. I'm sure that some of you sit in your chairs this morning wondering how you came to this point in your life. Nevertheless, we go through seasons in our lives, and some are really awesome, and some are not so awesome. But no matter, when you look back, you think, it's been that long? It doesn't seem like it's been that long. And again, now that I've thoroughly depressed you, I want to encourage you, and I want to talk about the different seasons in our life, and I want to talk about how God can transform us and make the transition from that period of our life to another period of our life strong. He can make that an encouraging time. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to go back to the Old Testament, and I want to go back to Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1 through 9. Now, you were thinking, why is he bringing up Moses? Well, I'm bringing up Moses because we're talking about Joshua. And Joshua chapter 1 is, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. Moses has died. Joshua has assumed the command of the Israelites. And he is now faced with the large, large task of taking the Israelites into the promised land. Not only that, but he has to fill the shoes of Moses. You remember Moses. Moses, who God used in multiple different ways. Moses with the burning bush. Moses with the plagues. And Moses with the crossing of the Red Sea. And Moses through the wilderness, the 40 years. And making sure that with definitely following God and ministering to the people. And doing all those things. That Moses. Now Joshua, even though Joshua was with him that entire time, has to take over. God has called him to do this. Moses has died. Joshua now assumes the control of the Israelite as leader. His first task, a monumental one, and also a pretty big one, is leading the Israelites in the promised land. As the seasons change in our lives like they did in Joshua's, we can meditate on the words and promises spoken to him by the Lord. Did you get what I said there? As seasons change in our lives, as they did in Joshua's, we can meditate on the words and the promises that spoken to Joshua in this time. So if you have your Bibles, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, we'll start there and we'll continue on. Joshua 1, 1 through 5 says this, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which your sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you.'" Joshua 1, 1 through 5 is the promise that God made. Okay, if you're taking notes, that's the first part. The promise. How does Joshua handle this? He handles it because of the promise that God has made to him, and not only to him, but his forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. He has told them that this land is yours. I have given you this land. And he has reminded them time and time again that I will be with you always. And he tells Joshua, listen, there is a monumental task ahead of you. There are armies that you're going to have to battle. But trust me when I tell you that I am with you. I have given you this. Now, don't second guess God and do it. God gives Joshua the promise. I want you to understand that when God promises us something, he will come through. We might make it a little bit more difficult by thinking that we've got a better route, that we've got a better idea. And so that belabors what God has planned for us. And so I encourage you this morning, as Joshua, as you will see Joshua do, that you need to trust in the promises of God. I will come back to that later. Joshua 1:6-8 says this: "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have success." God reminds Joshua not only of the power, but he also, the promise, but he reminds him of the power. He says to him in that verse in 6, he says, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous." Be strong and courageous. Or understand that God has promised us many things. And understand that the power that he has promised to Joshua is also the power that we can receive as well. Understand that. Believe that. That we can look at these words that God has given to Joshua this morning, and we can realize and draw strength and power from those promises and from those words. God gives Joshua the promise. God gives Joshua, secondly, the power. He says, "Be strong and courageous." He tells him to follow and meditate on the law, which means stay in my will. This is what I have commanded you, Joshua. This is what I have given to the people. Follow it, maintain it, meditate on it daily. Know it. Understand it. And that is something that we today can do as well, as we meditate on God's word, that we know what God's word says. We meditate on it. We follow it. We are strong and courageous as God calls us to do his will in this world. And finally, Joshua 1:9, the presence of God is promised to Joshua. He says to Joshua in Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Know that God is with you through this campaign, Joshua, that those promises are made to us in Scripture, and we must remember them. Understand that God promises us the promised land. This is for the Israelites. Understand that God says, "I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you the power to overtake these armies. I'm going to give you the power to overcome all these odds. It may look steep, it may look tough, but I'm going to give you the power." Matter of fact, the whole reason why they didn't enter the promised land in the first place was because some of the spies were scared. But do you remember who were the proponents of taking the land? Anybody? Give you a cookie later. Joshua and Caleb. Was that Miss Ruth? Okay. Joshua and Caleb. And now Joshua is leading the army. So when God says, "Go and be strong and courageous," you know that Joshua understands what God is telling him. And it is an encouragement to him. Joshua understands. Understand that God is going to be with you through this entire campaign. And we're going to get into this a little bit later down the line in some sermons. But understanding the overtaking of this job, that he has to take the entire nation of Israel across the Jordan River, and the Jordan River, not only that, but also the Jordan River at flood stage levels. Now, granted, when you look back at Moses, it seems pretty minuscule because, you know, Moses crossed the Red Sea and Moses got away from Pharaoh's armies and all these other things. And that should be something that encourages Joshua. Yes, I have this monumental task ahead of me, but God has provided in the past. So God gives Joshua the promise, he gives him the power, and he is also with him the presence of God. Folks, this is a wonderful passage, one that I remembered, and one of the very first passages that I memorized was Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Obviously, I memorized a different translation. But understanding that simple passage of be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Understanding that no matter what you face, that God is with you always. It doesn't always mean that everything's going to be roses and daisies, but what it means is that when you're in the midst of the battle, when you're in the midst of the sickness, when you're in the midst of whatever you're facing, that God is on your side. He is for us. He gives us the provision. He takes care of us. He watches over us. As long as we stay in His will and we trust Him and we do what He has commanded us to do, He will take care of us. It may not always look like what we want, but He will give us what we need. I shared this morning in Sunday school as we were going, as we were studying, I shared with them looking back on my life. Spencer asked the question of how has your faith been strengthened? And one of the things that really strengthened my faith was to live life and then to be able to look back on it and see how God took care of us in that moment in time. And I look back to my time in my college years where I had to take a Jan term class, which means that I had to go in January when I was supposed to be on Christmas break and all that jazz, and I had to study, okay, take a class. And Jan term classes are 8 hours a day for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then part of that, I had to find a place to stay. Because if you stay in the dorm, it costed a whole lot more money, which normally wouldn't have been a problem, but I was getting married in the summer of 2009, and so I didn't have a whole lot of money. I had a wife that was going to depend on me, and I didn't have no job after college. And so I went into Jan term with the promise that I could squat at a buddy's apartment for $100. His buddy that normally rented the place was on a missionary journey, and so I could stay in his bedroom for $100. God provide. So that day I got there in my room, and I was setting up, and I had to go to my first counseling class, my first 4-hour counseling class, and sit in that class. And as I sat down to one of my now to this day a beloved pastor friends, Josh, and he said, man, what's going on? I told him, dude, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I said, I'm getting married. I don't have a job. I've looked all over Bolivar. I don't have anything. And he goes, man, physical plant's higher. See, he's driving the world. We go driving around a van and we change filters. Okay. He said, just come on over and I'll make sure you get the job. God provided a job for me. A well-paying job, by the way, for a college student. God provided that. And through all of this time, in my January term of studying and this, I see how God orchestrated all that. God provided a place for me to stay. God provided a job for me, and He provided a way for me to go, to get things done so I could graduate. And then later on, I'm thinking, okay, that's great, God. I have a job here in Bolivar, but I'm getting married. My wife is teaching, and so I need a job somewhere. And God provided for Stacy and I in our first year of marriage a bivocational youth pastor job at First Baptist St. Clair right down the road. It wasn't what I had in mind, but it was what God had planned for my life. Because in that first year of our marriage, that was a sweet and tender moment for us to live in a parsonage, to have our first house paid for and rent-free. I was the pastor, okay? But it was a place for us to grow and in our first year of marriage have somewhere comfortable to be. And so I see how God provided a place for me to stay when I was in college, how God provided a job for me that I needed in the moment in time. And then He provided me a job after I graduated so Stacy and I could continue on our journey in ministry. Folks, that is what we have to do. We have to look back at our lives and see how God has taken us through the different challenges in our lives and give Him all the glory and praise. And we do this understanding that He has promised us. That He has promised us. Matthew 24:43 says this, "But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into." The promise that God tells us is that if you trust in me, if you have faith in me, that one day I'm coming back to take you home. Okay? So we have a promise in our lives. Jesus came to this earth, He died on the cross for our sins, and He promised us that one day He was coming back for us. And in Matthew 24:43, that tells us that He is coming back for us. That is the promise that we have to hide in our hearts to know that he is coming back one day. And then he gives us power. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, he says, So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs or which the Father has fixed by his authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and even the most remotest parts of the earth. God has promised us the Holy Spirit. He says, he said to them, it is not for you to know this time, but he says in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So God has made us the promise that, listen, you place your faith and your trust in me, and one day I'm going to come back, I'm going to take you home, we're going to be in heaven together, we're going to give God all the praise and glory. And he says, listen, while you're here on this earth, while you're trying to accomplish this goal, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you power. And it says in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He's talking about the disciples in that moment in time, the day of Pentecost, when Peter stands up and he preaches. And all these different people from all different walks of life hear the gospel message preached in their ear, in their tongue, by one man. Amen. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power is promised to us as well. He also promises his presence. He says in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, that Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God has promised us that he's coming back for us. God has given us the power to make it through this life, and he has given us his presence, that he is with us always to do the things of God for him. Amen. That's a hallelujah moment, folks. Yes. As we look back over our lives, as we look back over the struggles and the things that we've dealt with, just like Joshua in Joshua 1:9, as God says, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Understand that all the things that we face in this life, all the different tasks, all the different jobs that we go through, that God is with us. That we need to remember what God tells Joshua. That we need to meditate. He tells Joshua to meditate on the law so that you don't go from the left or to the right. We need to meditate on the gospel message. We need to meditate on what God has called us to do. We need to remember what Jesus has set us to do and not veer from it to the left or to the right. We need to follow God's will. We need to be strong and courageous no matter what season of life we find ourselves in. And always, always look back at our life and say to God, thank you for bringing me through this. It might be difficult, it might be tough, but remember what God says to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God gave us a promise. He gives us power, and he is present with us. As we look at these leaves fall off the trees, turn to winter, and hopefully as we see snow come, and that cold time of year, we begin to think about life. We begin to think of the shortness of life. As I read to you earlier, what the psalmist says, that man is like a mere breath, his days are like passing shadows. We realize that life is short and that our life here on this earth is just a vapor. And there is not time for us to walk around with our heads hung low. That God has a plan and a purpose for our life, and we need to remember that he has promised us great things. And that we need to stay in his will. We need to follow his will each and every day in our life. That means while you're at work, that means while you're at home, that means while you're at the grocery store, that you're looking for every opportunity to tell others about Jesus. And not only are you looking for opportunities to tell others about Jesus, but you're looking for opportunities to give God the praise for the things that he's done in your life. When we walk around giving God praise for everything, it becomes less about us and more about him. And we begin to rely more on him because we're realizing that the good things in this life that we have is because of God. Amen. you feel differently or otherwise, you need to figure out who you're giving the praise to. Be strong and courageous, no matter what season of life you find yourself in, because God gives us promise, the power, and the presence. Folks, as we close today, I just want to encourage you. I depressed you earlier, but I want to encourage you now. That if you place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, if you follow His will for your life, if you just constantly rely on Him, wow, the blessings you'll see. And so I encourage you this morning that if you've not placed your faith and trust in Christ, that you would do so this morning. There's no words that I can say. There's nothing that I can do except to preach this gospel message to get you to accept Jesus Christ in your life. But it's a personal decision that you make between you and God, whether or not you're going to follow. For those of you that have been Christians for a long time, I encourage you this morning to remember what God has done for you. Remember the promises of God. Meditate on it daily. Meditate on His word and keep His word. I don't like to say hide. But keep His word in your heart. As you go out into this world, be strong and courageous, knowing that God is with you. Always. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the many blessings you give us. We thank you for the time and the opportunity we've had, Father, here to come to you this morning to hear your word preached, to just soak it in, Father. Lord, I pray this morning that we would just realize that all the good things in our lives come from you, Father, and so that we would give you all the praise and glory this morning. Lord, that as we study the life of Joshua, that we would realize how you take care of him and how you lift him up, Father, and how you encourage him through his journey. Lord, it is a difficult task to fill the shoes of another, especially Moses. But God, you would give Joshua the strength and the power to do so. And so, Father, I just thank you so much for giving us these words this morning that we can read and be encouraged as we go through different seasons of our lives. As we trust in you, Father, in the good times and in the bad times. Father, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you, I pray, Lord, I pray that they would give their life to you. Lord, that they would realize that life on their own is no fun, but life with you, Father, is a blessing and encouraging and has tremendous benefits. Father, we love you so much. We just ask that you bless this time now. We love you, Lord. This is all you need. The band's going to come and play. I'll be here in the front. If you want to pray, you want to counsel, whatever it might be, I'll be here in the front. Let's stand and sing. Thank you.